Grace be unto you, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the gospel lesson for today, Luke 11, 1 through 13. And here, the last couple of verses. If your son asks you, his father, for a fish, will any of you give him a snake instead of a fish? If he asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? Now, if you, wicked as you are, know enough to give your children good gifts, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is the text. And let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, indeed, do give us hungry, happy, thankful hearts for your holy word. And to that end, may the Holy Spirit keep your word company at this time. As he gave it, so may he keep it company now to bless the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts for our soul's good and to the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen. Friends, possibly some of you have received a knock at night, and it is a little scary. Who's there? You don't want to answer, as a saying goes, in this day and time. But lo and behold, it's a friend. It's a friend, late at night, but he's in real need. You would immediately open the door and do whatever you could. That is the thought. That is the thought that this text and the lessons today would impress on our hearts and minds, that you and I would confess, probably each of us, the sin of prayerlessness, that we don't pray as often, as faithfully and trustingly as we ought. We don't take it to the Lord in prayer, as we shall sing at the end of the service. All too often, we get impatient for his answer. The Lord, we say, would impress on us through these lessons today, take it to the Lord in prayer, for he delights in giving you an answer. Surely, good gifts, even and especially spiritual gifts, the gift of the Holy Spirit, that he hears and he answers all our prayers. Again, not necessarily exactly as we might ask or desire, but as he in his love and wisdom knows best. We say that's true, really not for everyone, however. Not everyone who calls God, whoever you are, up there, out there, somewhere. No. Today there are those that want to get together with the Sikhs, the Jews, the Muslims, the Buddhists, who have you, and have a joint service as if the Christian prayer is no better than the prayers of those that know not Christ. No, prayer is a special privilege of those in God's family, a special privilege of a son, a daughter of God. But of course, do we need to be reminded? We're not that way, naturally. Nobody is. Nobody is naturally by birth a child of God. By nature, we're children of wrath. By nature, we're sinful and unclean. Nor do you become a child of God, nor do you get into or earn membership in God's family by your own effort or your own merit. The Lord looked out from heaven. That's an anthropomorphic term. He uses terms as in the Old Testament lesson, human terms to help us understand that he knows all things. But he'll speak about, I want to look into that as if he doesn't know already. He uses that for our benefit to help us understand him just a little bit better. He looks out and he knows that we're all sinners. We've all fallen short. There is not a just man on earth that doeth good or sinneth not. Or that favorite little passage of mine that lowers the boom on us all, Isaiah 64:6, for all is an unclean thing and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We could then despair, even as Paul had that word of despair, oh wretched man that I am, after he confessed too, the good that I would that I do not, and the evil that I would not that I do. And he said, oh wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this body of death? And then immediately, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what is set forth so beautifully in the epistle lesson for today. That we've been baptized with a circumcision not made with hands, namely with baptism, with water and the word. Simple water and the simple word in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It's applied to us, not an empty claim, not an empty ceremony, but laying his powerful, wondrous, gracious name and claim on us there in baptism. We're his. And that baptism, whereby we become a child of God, whereby he lays his name and claim on us, that then has been nourished through the word and the blessed sacrament of his body and blood, has been nourished down through the years, as today, I'd like to trust everyone here says, I lay my sins on Jesus. I trust indeed that it was with his holy precious blood, with his innocent suffering and death, and with his victorious resurrection, the debt of my sin has been paid, nailed, if you will, to the tree, the debt canceled, paid in full. We're now the righteous in God's sight, the righteous sons and daughters of God. Paul so beautifully sums it up, Galatians 3:26. Great little passage. How do you get to be a child of God? How are you a child of God? We're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. I trust that describes each of us. And to us then belongs the wonderful, among the many other blessings, all the pardon and the peace and the purpose and the power that God does bless us with, including the privilege of prayer. That's the emphasis in the service today. That's what I pray the Holy Spirit would lay on our hearts is, we leave this place and you think back, what was that service all about? It was a little reminder, to take time to pray, to use a little the more faithfully in faith and regularly, even persistently, the privilege of prayer. A sin that we could confess, I haven't prayed as I ought. Oh, Lord, help me to do better, that in that time of need, to take it to you in prayer. Because you are there to listen. You're there to help. Your children, your dear children. And that's the emphasis in this text, very simply. We could almost have three texts or three sections. The first, dealing with the Lord's Prayer. Lord, teach us to pray, as Luke mentions. 8 times it is mentioned in the Gospel of Luke about the Lord Jesus praying. And the disciples said, as they saw it, and of course he had said it probably before in what we speak of as the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, which is the longer version. And this is a little more abbreviated. And we call this also the section of the Lord's Prayer. And we could have a sermon on each of those petitions, as I have done in years gone by. So we won't go into that, but rather emphasize what Jesus told about the man knocking on the door at night. Late in the evening, he came to his friend and said, I have a friend and I have nothing. My cupboard is bare. I need some loaves of bread, that whatever I have, that he could use it to dip in the sauce and would have some nourishment. And the thought is, it would be unthinkable for that friend to deny his untimely friend his need. His friend, it was kind of, if that's a word, impudent, shameless, nervy, on that order. He came at kind of an inopportune time, at night. Small house, the man in bed, his family didn't want to disturb him. Ah, but in those days and in the Orient, the Mideast, hospitality and friendship meant a lot. The point is, there would be no second thought. Why, of course he would get up and give him whatever he needed. And then he gives 2 other little stories along the same line in the form of a question. That what father, if a son or daughter would have a special need, ask for bread, would receive a serpent, ask for an egg, would receive a scorpion, perish the thought. Why, of course not. And he says, you who are by nature sinful and unclean, you know how to give good gifts. Just know that our Heavenly Father is eager and anxious to give good gifts. Now, of course, we do have to say, it doesn't mean that He's going to provide all our greeds. The Lord has promised to provide all our needs, but not our greeds. And if there are even some of those things that we might want and feel we need, and the Lord in His wisdom, in His love, in His oversight, knowing it all, He might say, no. He might say, not now. He might say, not in this way. Madame Chiang Kai-shek, the wife, Christian, of the former president or leader of China and then Taiwan, Chiang Kai-shek, Madame Chiang Kai-shek, had this to say about prayer. I used to pray that God would do this or that. Now I pray that God will make His will known to me. And another little limerick would put it this way. I know not by what methods rare, but this I know, God answers prayer. I know not if the blessing sought will come in just the guise I thought. I leave my prayer to Him alone, whose will is wiser than my own. And as we have just sung, we remember we're coming to God, our Heavenly Father. He is there, and He is going to do what He knows best. And He wants us to ask for big things, but the best thing of all, the Holy Spirit, spiritual blessings. We see the persistence of Abraham and God answering in the Old Testament lesson today. He asked for big things, for mercy, and for justice, if you would, for the righteous. Don't want them to suffer as the wicked. And we were told the Lord said, all right, again and again. And finally, there weren't even 10 righteous found in Sodom and Gomorrah. And shortly thereafter, there was brimstone, fire, and essentially ruin that befell the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. But the Lord was patient with a beautiful, persistent prayer of Abraham. Another beautiful example, I think, that many of us can very well relate, that of Paul, set forth especially in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, among my favored passages, beginning with the 7th verse, how Paul besought the Lord thrice, King James Version. 3 times he went to the Lord in prayer, Lord, take this thorn in the flesh away. And the Lord answered his prayer, but as we would understand, not taking that apparently physical, bodily trial or trouble away. But he answered the prayer. And I say, many of us can relate. We might not get just what we ask or when we ask in the way we might think we want and need, but we will find his special help and strength. That was the answer that Paul got loud and clear. I trust that many of us have received the same answer, or if some trial or trouble yet comes, listen carefully. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Beautiful. I say, many of us have found in time of special trial, trouble, or need, God's strength in our weakness and the assurance of His marvelous grace, always there, never to be doubted. He's the God, you remember, that spared not His only Son, but delivered Him up for us all. Therefore, with Him, He will freely, surely give us all things. Yes. Come into the King. Large blessings from Him we can ask, and He will surely answer. That's His word and promise. If you will, even signed and sealed in the blood of His Son, Jesus. He has given Jesus for us. He'll do whatever else in His love and in His wisdom He knows we need. So take our care, your care, our cares to Him, and He will provide. And to that may we say, amen and amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.